Uber sent all the complaints that customers had against him.
I found this so interesting. It was like really ridiculous. Like they only tell him afterwards. Like it's like.
Yeah. What's the point? Yeah.
Hello and welcome to the Driver Story Podcast. This is the second episode, and what are we talking about today?
Okay, so hello and welcome. So we established our social media presence, right? which wasn't very hard. So we've got our, you can follow us at our YouTube channel, which is The Driver Story, on Twitter as well. We have a Facebook page. And if you want to keep in touch with us, you know, we can do that through those channels. And we also have, we started our GoFundMe page, which is our page and our way of financing this potentially and hopefully documentary. I mean, potentially and hopefully, you know, someone's going to donate. So no one has yet.
Has to be description down below and, you know, help us out. Make this documentary and get the story out.
Yeah. And tell the, you know, the story of the driver from the driver's perspective.
So today we're going to be talking about basically what's happened, the progress so far, and basically since last week and this week, surprise, surprise, and kind of the progress we've made so far. And so Mihai, so we spoke to a couple of drivers this week so far. Do you want to run us through those guys and kind of the story?
Right, so we had we talked to Renata this week, and she's a woman. She's been a driver for almost 2 years now. She has a small child. She's a single mother, basically, she kind of went along the same lines, and this is kind of a common thread of people who are interested in security. Yeah. One thing we found out, and I wasn't actually aware of this, she has an exec car, I would say. I don't think it's a luxury car. Exec car. And that car has an SOS feature, which is cool.
Yeah.
So in terms of security, and it connects you automatically to the emergency services. So if you're in a car crash, mainly, I think that's what it's supposed to do. So you're supposed to use it in a car crash, I imagine. I mean, you can use it when, however you want. She actually mentioned the fact that her daughter, I think it was, played with it and she pressed the button.
Mistakenly.
And all of a sudden, she heard in the car, yes, what do you need? Do you need police? Do you need ambulance? This and that, which is a great feature, you know.
Yeah.
And what was I supposed to say?
I mean, generally, she also, like, as you mentioned as well, she really spoke in line with a lot of the things that the other drivers had been speaking about as well. She, you know, when we spoke about in terms of like union or even why she joined, she became a minicab driver. She spoke about the need for flexibility as well because she has a daughter. She went into details about, you know, how she became a minicab driver and also the fact that the process was long for her. You know, TFO, I think she took her also like 9 months as well, something like that.
Yeah, almost a year. Nine months. Yeah, something like that.
To become a minicab driver and all of that and experience so far. So it was quite an interesting conversation with her, especially from like a female's perspective. And she mentioned that she hasn't gotten any kind of bad customers,
and she was saying that she thinks that it's because she's a woman. She didn't have bad experiences. I mean, she did mention one with the guy who was kind of aggressive, but because he had a bad day at work. But she said she told him that she's going to call the police if he doesn't stop. So what else? We talked with Sergio as well today. Sergio, he's our first driver that was in 2017 deactivated by Uber.
Yeah.
And also, Uber sent all the complaints that customers had against him.
I found this so interesting. It was like really ridiculous. Like, they only tell him afterwards. Like, it's like.
Yeah, what's the point? Yeah.
So you were saying, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, instead of Uber saying, at the time it was only Uber, we've got nothing against Uber on this podcast. but at the time, Uber was the only app operating in London, and he was working with them. And apparently he had some complaints from customers, and he was unaware of those complaints. Uber terminated his account overnight. While he was supporting his family, all of that, he just messed up his life.
And then we hear things where, because I think he said that they didn't directly tell him the complaints. TFL, and then TFL sent him the letter with the complaints.
Exactly.
And another thing that surprised me was that why I was also amazed that he was deactivated was because he had like something like 9,000 trips, and of those 9,000, he only had 11 complaints. So it was like 800 trips to one. So he was like, that ratio was just ridiculous. And I was like, wait, so you get deactivated even with that kind of like, and it was a, it was a Lux driver. Like, I really, for me, I think Sergio was very like, obviously he was very knowledgeable, very experienced. He has 6 years of experience. So he's no longer, just like an FYI, he's no longer an Uber driver anymore at the moment. But he had a six-year experience. He had his own chauffeur kind of business or renting business. With 50 cars, I wish that was quite amazing. He helped loads of people become Uber drivers. He referred, I said, 500? Something like that, 500 Uber drivers?
More than 500, yeah. And not just that, he's Romanian as well. So he would go to Romania, get drivers, get people, basically.
Yeah.
Bring them to the UK, apply, help them get their national insurance number. So, imagine people that... Sorry? Yeah, set them up.
So, yeah, you just literally set them up.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to continue saying, like, help them become drivers and all that kind of thing. And it was quite amazing, like, someone like that. And even he mentioned that. Part of the things he did as well was, set up a company to try and, like, go the electric car route and things. So that was one of the businesses he tried to set up that, kind of sadly didn't work out, but he was one of that had loads of experience, and even he mentioned as well that he and Uber, they collaborated on multiple projects and one of the reasons he mentioned that he was quite sad when they literally, I think it was like a phone call, they told him that his account was really, and he's like, he didn't really have any chance to defend himself or like appeal, there was no appeal process or even a period to. Yeah, I remember he also mentioned that he was at some point, because he was a Lux driver, Uber Lux.
Yeah.
And then at one point was called into the office I can't remember now, to basically that he couldn't be a Lux driver anymore because of his weight.
Yeah. So basically he did all this work, right? So he brought people from Romania here, set them up, started them as a driver. Obviously there was a financial incentive for that, right? And he did all that. Then he started working with Uber in partnership to get electric cars on the roads. He also started looking into chargers and bringing chargers on the market.
Creating a network, yeah.
Yeah, because he had an electric car, or he wanted to buy electric cars. At this point, imagine he's got 50 cars, and they're all petrol or hybrid cars. He wants to switch to electric cars. He's talking to Uber, what's the best way to do that? But Uber imposed a maximum amount that he could charge per kilowatt hour.
Oh, yeah.
And even now, when, that business for Sergio didn't go through.
Yeah.
Even now with other businesses, they're still not at the, that price per kilowatt hour that Uber was imposing at the time, right? Yeah. So the market is still not there. So he couldn't do that. And then he was an Uber Lux driver, right? And then overnight, or something like that, because his rating dropped at some point, they called him and said, listen, you can't be a Lux driver anymore because of the rating. So yeah. They didn't even give him, a time, like a month or 2 months, 3 months, or even a week, just try to improve the rating. And then if you don't improve your rating, we're going to, take you off the Lux platform. Okay, so that happens overnight. You can't be a Lux driver anymore. You can be an Uber X driver, but you can't be an Uber X driver with this car.
So yeah, that's another thing that was like, they even said you couldn't be an exec driver. An ex driver with the same car.
He was paying at the time, he was telling us, he was paying £1,000 a month in finance for that luxury car.
Yeah.
But so he had to either sell it or give it back to the finance company in order to become an ex driver. And all of this happening overnight, you can imagine. And then a few months later, so he does all that, right? He does all that. And then a few months after that, they just deactivate his account because of complaints he was unaware of that Uber never actually told him. And he found out about those 11 complaints for 9,000 trips from TfL when Uber gave all those complaints to TfL. TfL told him, these are the complaints against you. And TfL said, we're going to take your license away.
Yes, yeah. That was a really powerful story. Like, I was so shocked. I mean, I'm kind of glad for him because he basically, his perspective and his own, view on things of that whole experience was kind of positive. Obviously, he had a bit of a down. He said he had a bit of a down period, like a point where he was quite down. But then he kind of turned his life around, took charge of his life. And, he's doing well for himself now. But, Quite the story, I think. Quite the amazing story. So I mean so we spoke. That was it yesterday. Spoke to Sergio. So that was it's quite an eye-opening conversation, I would say.
Yeah, and very powerful, because as I mentioned yesterday in the call with Sergio, because I started in around July or beginning of August 2017.
Yeah,
and I remember a few months after I started, there were, in the Facebook groups and on different, chat groups, etc., there were a lot of, there were more and more drivers coming and saying, they deactivated my account. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what happened. I've got payments, like rent and finance on the car and this and that, and I'm supporting my family. And all of a sudden, overnight, my account's been deactivated. Again, remember the time, Uber was the only company that was working through an app in London. So basically it was Uber or minicab offices, which were at that point kind of a dying industry and still are.
Yeah.
So I was quite scared at the time. And I think they used this fear tactic in a way with drivers trying to make them behave as best as possible.
Yeah.
And obviously there's bad apples in every industry, in every, community. So we're not saying that Uber drivers are minicab drivers at this point, perfect in any way. But I would say that I think from what we've seen on the groups and while the drivers that we've met and all the conversation that's going on, I think most people are okay. They just, they either have a bad day or they have a bad experience with one customer, and there's a dynamic going on there with that particular customer. But anyway, just as Sergio mentioned, having one bad, complaint or one complaint every 800 trips or whatever it was, it's a pretty good ratio, If you go on Trustpilot, there's a lot of...
And also another thing I think he mentioned was that, and I think you guys, this is part of the thing that you said was happening in that 2017 time, that lots of people were being, so obviously he was one of those drivers that was deactivated in that period. But you were also saying that he heard that the commission from Uber had changed from, was it 20% at the time that he was being charged to 25% that you're...
Some of the drivers, I've heard Now, Uber, sorry, Sergio said that wasn't true, but what I've heard is that some, like the very first drivers that started on Uber, they were on 15%. That's what I've heard. And then Sergio was on 20%, and there were a lot of drivers on 20%. And then people like myself that came in later, and even today, you know, they're on 25%. And actually was mentioning that on Lux, he was on 28%.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
After, so they, again, with the commission, they changed the commission without, know. I mean, you can do it. I mean, it's their company. They can do whatever they want.
That's true.
But it would be nice to have some advance notice, right? Like, you know, if in a month, you know, it's going to be 28% from 20% to 28% on a Lux trip. I mean, I suppose that's a big difference, right? That counts. So, okay, so yeah, so that happened. So they went to from 20. Okay, so some of the drivers that were, and more drivers that were on a lower commission, 25%, started being deactivated.
That's it. Yeah.
So and even now, like I saw a couple of weeks ago, a guy that was deactivated and was on 20%. Wow. So
they're still clearing them out, basically.
Yeah,
get as much drivers that are higher commissioned. Well, I mean, it's like you said, it's a company that can essentially do whatever they want. But I think once you set up like an industry whereby like lots of people are relying on kind of the source of income, I guess there's the legal rights. And there's a moral right, so
exactly,
for them to. And I think also, I think Sergio was saying that at that time there was when they was having problems with the TFL, some of the licenses. So maybe it was them trying to prove that they're doing right by the customers. But I mean, like I said, Sergio, I mean the experience, although it was quite bad, and I agree it's quite bad. But like he said that he used it as learning experience for himself. So kind of happy for Sergio that he's in a better place now.
Yeah.
But still, quite a shocking story. Should we go into like more decisions about that we made about the documentary and how that's coming along so far?
Sure. Yeah. So with our teachers in the class, we've been told that we have to choose one main, especially because this is going to be like a 7 to 10 minute documentary. So this is the short version. We're looking at actually to do a longer version, like an hour, maybe more.
Yeah.
But at the moment, we're just testing the water with a short version. So it's best that we focus on one thing, one topic. And we've decided that topic is going to be
safety and dangers. I totally ruined that. Sorry. So it's safety and dangers. So basically, the elements of safety and of drivers and customers, and kind of comparing how that's how that's been held up, and obviously the dangers to drivers and also customers. So that we're going to be exploring a lot of that. And we're kind of going down the style of kind of like observational. If you guys know anything about documentary styles, observational / investigative documentary style, using those of dash cam footage. Obviously, from the drivers we've spoken to, we'll call them back. We set up like an actual interview where we film with the film crew and everything. And so from that, we use dash cam footage interviews, some observational recordings of drivers while on the jobs. So it's going to be, again, like I said, quite observational, investigative in element of, with the investigative, it's going to be more of us, recounting stories that we've, even with, we haven't spoken about it, the Uber ruling or the change, where now in the drivers, they're classing them as workers now, rather than self-employed. So things like that, we're going to be going into that. And obviously, situation that happened with Gabriel, we'll see if we can, get as much information from online or we can try and get in contact with his family. And basically it's going to be quite observational / investigative, focusing on the safety of drivers, safety and dangers of drivers and customers, and comparing how
exactly. And we're also take bits of what parts of what we found with our interviewees, and we're going to have interviews with them, or some of them, about their stories and about, recounting. I mean, not recounting, because we're not going to reenact, but, you know, they're going to retell their story in an interview form.
Yeah.
Right. So it's going to be dash cam, observational, investigative, and interview, basically. So try to put that all in 10 minutes and give it a, what's it called? Narrative, right? Like a narrative structure, putting it into a narrative structure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're kind of getting to the end of the developmental stage at the moment. Yeah. I mean, we're still looking for like more stories that can, of people that have been affected one way or another, especially like in terms of experience with customers or where something either dangerous happened, especially, you know, like, yeah, so stuff like that. And so that we can basically, that would help us push the narrative, like Mihai said, like help us create a narrative in the, in the story, because we want to, because obviously there are different reasons why there's more danger to drivers than there are to customers, and so we wanna like have the cause. So this is the reason why, and then the effects of, okay, this is something that happened because of this, you know, this kind of lack of kind of safety measure.
Yeah.
There isn't this safety measure, so this has happened, and so basically kind of present our case like that. Or present the documentary. That would be kind of the general narrative of the documentary. So far, anyways, I mean, documentary, as we've been told so far, is something that kind of evolves, is alive. And I believe that even with this case of Uber, it's something that, well, we're still developing ideas, it's already happening. Like, oh wow, that's something that even we weren't expecting, because when we spoke to Mo and he said that the same thing happened in Italy, that it took a while for them to make a decision. And wow, London, they really just really quickly made it.
It was really fast, yeah. It was really fast. So let's talk about that a bit. So yesterday, the 17th of March, you know, I as a driver received an email from Uber saying that they're going to make some changes without compromising on the flexibility.
Yeah.
And that's really important. I actually saw an interview with the general manager for the UK.
Yeah.
And he was saying that this is the only way they can do it at the time without actually implementing shifts for drivers, which drivers don't want, people, because they want to have that flexibility. And we saw with all the drivers, including Renata and myself and all the drivers, they want the flexibility. So what are some of those changes? So they said they're going to put 12.07% of every trip towards a holiday payment type of, you know, that a driver could access potentially at some point. From the moment you accept a trip as a driver on Uber, till, you know, you pick up the customer drop-off point, they're going to make sure that you earn at least the minimum wage, the national minimum wage, which is £8, whatever it is, 3.30, I don't know what the minimum wage is. They made it quite clear that it's a bottom ceiling, not a... bottom floor, not the ceiling, basically. Yeah. So you make that minimum, but you can go, you can go higher than that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how they're going to do that. Probably they're going to divide the, you know, so let's say it takes a trip, it's 13 minutes. They're going to divide £8 to 60 minutes, and then they're going to see how much would it go for 13 minutes.
I was thinking potentially it's like, I don't know, I probably need to read more on it. I've just watched, like Mihai said, the interview. I'm guessing they're probably going to, like, it's going to be like a cumulative thing. So, like, if you, for example, in a day work, you know, 5-10 hours, so, like, for based on that, basically, they will pay you, you know. So, like, if, say, one trip is 5 minutes, then another trip is 5 minutes, another trip is 5 minutes.
Yeah.
They're just combined times. Does that make sense?
Because the thing is that you're not, if Uber was the only player in town, then that would work. But Uber is not the only player in town. So I'm going to do a trip with Uber for whatever, 12 minutes here, and then I'm going to go on Bolt and do a trip for 7 minutes, and then I'm going to come back on Uber and do another trip for 12, you know, whatever.
That's why they said that it's only, they only count the times basically from your trip, from the beginning of your trip to the end of your trip. So I'm guessing the change will only occur whenever you're on Uber.
The difference here that maybe some drivers would say is that usually with the trips, you're not paid on the time to get there.
So if I'm
5 minutes away or 7 minutes away, sometimes if you're in an area, a remote area, whatever, and you're 12 minutes away, let's say, or as I'm an XL driver, so you know, let's say there's no XL car in the area, so it's just me 12 minute radius, let's say.
When those
12 minutes or 10 minutes or 5 minutes or 3 minutes, whatever it is, they're not paid. Okay. So what they said is that from the moment you accept the trip, which means now that time, which in a day, you know, you could, it adds up, you know, like 2 minutes there, 3 minutes there, etc. You get paid. And also that's another difference, with this model is that when you wait for the customer, a lot of customers don't know this actually. When you wait for the customer, the first 2 minutes are free.
Really?
And then, yeah. So the first 2 minutes are free, and you get, when you get to the location, you get a timer on your app. You see a timer starting. So you've got 2 minutes that are free, and then the next another 6 minutes on Uber, and the every app has it's a bit different. But on Uber, the next 6 minutes they're paid. Right, and then after in total it's 8 minutes. If the customer doesn't show up in eight minutes in total, the app itself cancels.
Interesting.
And the customer gets charged.
Wow.
And you make the minimum on that. But with this model, paying the drivers from the moment they accept the trip is basically technically, you're getting paid for all that time, right?
Yeah.
The time to arrive to pick up and the time you're waiting, mm-hmm. those first 2 minutes, you're getting paid. And then after that, you're starting to get paid either on wait time or when the customer comes, you know, on the trip. Honestly, I think they're going to set it up in a way so it benefits them as well.
Yeah, because another thing that he didn't really answer was like the change. And how will it affect the customers?
I think
he brushed it over and said, hopefully everybody else will change as well. Like the other industry, like game players or like people like Bolt and Freenow would also make the same change. And the prices should hopefully, like, I'm guessing that's what they're hoping for. Like the price would just increase as an industry. But I wonder about that, you know.
Well, he said two things. He said this, that he hopes that, you know, the other players in the market will change. But he also mentioned that they plan to remain competitive in the market. He didn't actually say they're going to keep the same prices or go lower. But, I mean, you know, it could benefit them in a way. Because honestly, I think that a driver, if he drives an hour for Uber, they make more money than that. I mean,
yeah, like the way they've done it now, probably, like it would.
No, but even myself as a driver, I make. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's the phone call. Okay, I guess we'll join them later.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. So, I as a driver, if I drive an hour for Uber. In different trips or just one trip, I make more money than the minimum wage.
Interesting.
Right? So then you might have a case where Uber says, listen, we'll give you the minimum wage. But so the thing is, I make more money than minimum wage, but I also have to include all the expenses, the car. So let's say I make 15 or 17 pounds an hour.
Yeah.
But part of that is going to be my petrol for that hour. It's going to be my insurance for that hour. It's going to be my... the usage of the car, you know, because it gets a wear and tear, basically tires, everything goes in that 17 pounds in an hour, right?
Yeah.
So they might come and say, listen, you'll make, let's say, instead of minimum wage, you'll make maybe $9.50 this hour that you work for Uber, but then you have to exclude all the costs. So if you just, because they actually mentioned this in the email, they say you'll make at 12%, and the minimum wage after vehicle expenses.
Yeah.
What I don't know how they're going to do this, because every driver is different.
Exactly.
Every driver's expenses are different, because you've got different cars, you've got different times when the car was bought. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's hard, but they could. Yeah, there's a lot of variety, and I think they could spin it in their own advantage, so they actually drop the prices, coming back to what we were talking earlier, you know. Because, I mean, who's going to know how much you're going to have, you actually make on a trip if they have in mind the £8.30, whatever it is, an hour, right? So it can be tricky. I mean, it can go both ways, but we'll see how those changes happen. And they also mentioned that they're going to have a program for drivers that want to opt in for
pension.
I don't know. They said it's going to take some time for that.
Another funny thing I saw in the interview was the guy asked him like 3 times how much it would cost Uber, and he didn't give an answer.
No, he didn't want to give an answer. No, yeah.
That was a good one. That was good CEO in. Like, he was good. He did a good CEO job there.
Yeah. He's the CEO just for the UK and the Nordic. I mean, I think it's called general manager.
Yeah.
So he wasn't the actual, like, the big CEO of Uber. But I suppose, you know, other countries will follow after this, they implement this change. And one last thing before we go, we actually got another email today telling us that if we want to claim against Uber for holiday pay and, holiday pay for the past years, this is just a bit of context. There's a lot of companies that popped up now that are trying to attract drivers to claim against Uber money from the past.
Yeah.
So Uber came today and said, listen, you don't have to do that. Don't go with all those companies. You can come directly to us. So if you want to claim if you want to claim money from Uber, just do it through Uber. And because there's another thing that all those companies that popped up now, they take some of them take, I think, 30%. Some of them take 50%.
Of course, yeah.
Right? So you may, I don't know, people throw around numbers. Some people say they're going to get 10,000 pounds, whatever. So, but even if you get 1,000 pounds, right, if you take that and you give 40% to a company that's made the claim,
yeah,
you know, 40% is still 40%, whatever the amount. So, I think Uber wants to settle. I've heard that in the news as well, that they want to settle with the drivers so they don't get sued by all these, you know, thousands of companies all over the UK.
I guess it works to have like advantage to work directly with the drivers, because again, even though you have all these companies taking commission, they can probably argue a bigger case. Maybe they got injured in the case or whatever. Like, they can try to stop, you know. So it works for them as well to work directly with the drivers.
And I think it's worth mentioning, because, you know, Uber, he's been the market leader, and he's been the first, and he's been disruptive and all that, and he gets all the blame. But I think it's worth mentioning all the other benefits that drivers already have in place.
Yeah.
So you can apply for parental care as well.
Yeah, they
through Uber, they've got some companies they work with for that. You can get, if you're in an accident and you get hurt, I think they've got a partnership with AXA Insurance. And they've got a partnership with the Open University, which is basically an online university that started way before COVID. You know, they've got some track record, and they've got proper degrees that you can actually go to and study. And it's free for us as Uber driver, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they've got other perks as well, you know, like you can save on fuel, petrol, etc. Those are smaller things, but I just wanted to mention these three big things that, you know, you get as being an Uber driver. And they never condition that to just working with Uber or anything like that. If you're on the Uber platform, you work with Uber, you can access those benefits. They don't ask you a minimum, you know, amount of hours or time, you know, or anything like that. So, you know, I think we're trying to be balanced on this podcast.
Yeah.
So just to mention all the you know, try to give the whole picture.
Yeah.
So let's talk for just, you know, the in closing, what's the plan for next week?
So the plan for next week, so today actually, we're going to have a production meeting with our production group later today to kind of decide which documentaries we go ahead with, because everybody in the team, or rather some people, have ideas that we've been researching over the last couple of weeks. So we're going to decide which one to go with, depending on, I mean, whether we go in the production team with ours or not. Next week, we're going to be speaking to more people, doing more research on more pages to basically just to get in contact with more people and get more stories, and trying to get more stories that are in line with our focus.
Which is security and safety for drivers.
Exactly. And try to basically get a key character that we can work with. And then from there, continue to develop the documentary. Once we probably decided on a main character or story, we're probably going to, I guess, more development and see how we can produce.
And just organize the production.
Exactly.
Very hands-on. I mean, you know, putting down on paper what we're going to shoot, when we're going to shoot, how it's going to start, etc., how it's going to finish, how do you plan to structure that narrative structure we were talking about earlier. So that's pretty much it, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, so thanks guys for listening. Is there anything else you'd like to say, Michael?
It's been a pleasure. Like I said in the beginning of the last episode, it's been very like eye-opening, kind of subject to look into and to do research on. This has been fun for me. I'm looking forward to actually, you know, moving forward, doing more calls, getting the production underway and doing this. So thank you guys again. For watching
and listening. And if you've got any stories, send them our way.
Please.
And tune in next week.
Yeah. Thank you. See you.
See ya. Cheers. Bye-bye.